Hey everybody, I'm here to spread the word about the benefit being held for three-time cancer fighter Sid Destructo Slimmer. Sunday, April 23rd from 4 to midnight at the Archive in Soulard. The extravaganza is hosted by the one and only Clownvis Presley as some of St. Louis' best acts perform their many talents. Michelle Minx of the Michelle Minx Academy of Pole Dance, comedian Andrew Frank, fire breather Carson Kelly, and drag performers Mary Shino and Lexi San Diego, with sideshow performer Travis Detritus, as well as music by the Trip Daddies, the Well Hungarians, and an open mic at the end of the night. Also, the triumphant return of Sid and Lexi's band Candy Coated Evil. Door prizes, raffles, incredible silent and live auction items, and special guests along the way. $10 suggests the door to help Sid pay for her ever-growing minimally insured bills and all the support until she can ring that bell at Siteman. This will be an event you will not want to miss. Sunday, April 23rd, 4 to midnight, or until they kick us out at Archive Soulard. Check Facebook for further details.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at Gaslight. Check them out there at the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard in St. Louis, Missouri. It's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar. Shares a wall with Cha Cha Chow, so you can come get some tacos, some cold drinks, and hang out and watch one of your favorite bands in the studio recording, or record your own stuff over there. So reach out to GaslightSTL.com, see how you can make that happen. They got a lot of really cool events coming up. Including Carter Holsey on Sunday, March 26th. And every Wednesday night, they have a new series called Count It. It's more emo rock stuff from a DJ set from Tyler of Tear Out the Heart. And so that'll be March 29th. And Thursday, March 30th, come over for Unplugged by Jack, including sets from Manus Brothers, Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals, and Chris Sloan. And then the big one, on April 8th, they're putting together a collective release party for all these bands that have been recording Gaslight over the last year. They're all putting out their new material. We got new albums from Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals, Miss Molly Sims, Fourth City Rag, now just Fourth City, actually, and Cara Louise Band, and Culprit Manifest. So all new material from all five bands. All five will be performing live April 8th at the Ready Room. So come over and check out that party. Again, all details on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Be sure to follow along and visit GaslightSTL.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Yale Hollander, local comic. Welcome to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today in, 6 North?
6 North Cafe in picturesque Wentzville, Missouri.
Yeah.
Crossroads of America.
Yeah, man. My hometown. This is very exciting. We're hanging out today with Yale Hollander. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Pleased to be here.
Yeah, you know, this is these are exciting for me because, with this show, I'm able to meet a lot of people around town, and I'm constantly discovering new music and comedy and other interesting people around here. And you know, this is our first time getting to meet and talk, and it's always a kind of fun for me to get to, you know you on the mic and stuff. But I don't know, I enjoy it. I like the opportunity that this show's given me, where people want to be out involved and stuff, and I really enjoy just meeting new people. So,
well, it's a great show. I do listen to it, and I'm starting to think that Maybe you don't have a home, because it seems you're always always doing podcasts. You're out and about hobnobbing with the local titans of the entertainment industry, as well as guys like me. So, hey, keep on keeping on. It's great.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, I really enjoy it, and like I said, man, it's just cool to constantly meeting people. So, so thank you for doing the show. And but yeah, you were telling me you've been now doing comedy for 8 months?
Just about 8 months, yeah. I started in late July, early August of 2016. Another friend of the show, Bobby Jaycox, he and Rafe Williams, who I know has also been on the show, they run the Comedy Smackdown at Helium Comedy Club out in the historic St. Louis Galleria. And I went out there one night, just didn't have really a whole lot to do. Decided I was going to sit in and catch some live comedy, and I got wrapped up in the show and started engaging in some back and forth with the performers, which is very unusual, but that's the format of the show, basically. Sure. It's the audience against the performers.
Yeah, heckling encouraged.
Heckling is encouraged, and they've got a very intricate scoring system that somehow or another almost always results in a tie at the end, which, of course, the tie goes to the audience. But in any event, I was lucky enough to be in the right place at the right time and got off a couple of good one-liners with some of the performers. And Bobby came over to me after the show and congratulated me on doing well and scoring points for the audience and things like that. And that just kind of planted the seed in my head that, you know, maybe I ought to hit an open mic and see if I can do this on a more frequent basis and maybe from the other side of the stage this time. It's interesting. I actually gave stand-up a shot 32 years ago. I was 17 at Missouri Boys State, and of course I went about it the entirely wrong way. Wasn't really prepared. Was just doing stuff off the top of my head. I had a 6-minute set. I got booed off the stage at about 3 minutes, and that was it for 32 years.
Yeah. So I guess this has been something that's kind of always lingered in the back of your brain to get on there and try it again?
It has. I've always been a huge fan of stand-up comedy since I was like 9, 10 years old. I remember for my 10th birthday, my dad bought me a copy of Steve Martin's Wild and Crazy Guy record on vinyl, of course, because it was 1978. And he didn't know at the time what was actually on that album. I think if he would have known what some of the material was on the album, it probably would have never made its way to my rickety old turntable. But thank God he was ignorant and didn't realize what was on there. And that just kind of lit a fire under me. And so, yeah, you know, I was one of these kids who got to grow up in the heyday of Johnny Carson, so I got to see a lot of comics on Johnny Carson and the HBO Young Comedian Special, which used to be on every year with guys like Robin Williams and Richard Belzer and Stephen Wright and the more established comics. So, yeah, it's just something that has always fascinated me. I've always enjoyed stand-up comedy.
Right. Those Young Comedian Specials launched all kinds of great careers.
Oh yeah,
they even some of the people like you wouldn't really like, well, like his name Tom Kenny or something from does like the SpongeBob voice and stuff. Like, but he was on. I remember seeing him on there and stuff. And so you know, guys that maybe not necessarily doing the stand up, but they're still involved in comedy and different stuff.
Yeah, it was their entree into show business. Yeah, it's that you know. That comedic mind can be put to use other than stand-up, for sure.
Right.
You know, I actually, for a number of years, was doing more humor writing than anything else. I mean, even back in high school and then a little bit in college and did some stuff when I was in law school, helped write some of the satire skits that we would put on at the end of the year. And then when the internet came around, I was doing some online articles for some different companies. Harry's comes to mind. That's a shaving company. They manufacture and sell razors. Now they're in Target stores, but it used to be completely e-commerce. Well, they had a like a little men's magazine online called 5 O'Clock, and I used to write some humorous little articles for them. I've done some blogging and things like that. So, yeah, this is just another extension of of my ability to get my humor out there. And just enjoying the hell out of it right now.
Yeah. I was thinking last night I went out to that Artie Lang show. Artie and it was I asked their names. I didn't catch them when I but I asked Tim, was it Tim Convy hosted, and then there was Paul Morrissey and Russ Meneve.
Okay.
And both of those guys were really funny. From I think they were the friends of Artie's. They came in with him, and at least I knew Russ was from New York. I don't know if Paul's also from New York, but they I was thinking the talking about the heckling and stuff earlier with this Comedy Smackdown. They there was a guy like tried to shot off a he's you know, Russ was doing some crowd work, and he said, "What do you do?" And he's like, "I'm a lawyer." And he's like, "Oh, what kind of law you do?" He's like, "I sue comedians or something like
oh,
that."
Oh god.
And it, you know, nothing. And he's like, "Yeah, hey, you see that, buddy? Yeah, false flat, man. Nothing happened there." And
no.
It was just funny that like how he you know, acknowledges that fact that nobody got on his side with his joke and stuff, and like, I just imagine, you know, if you're going to encourage the heckling and stuff, I wonder how many of those lines don't go over well at those,
no.
those shows and stuff.
No, well, in a lot of cases, I mean, especially in the case of hecklers, where there may be some, shall we say, impairment going on. Yeah, they always think that they're funnier than they really are. That and that's one of the things when I go to a comedy show, or at least before I started doing it myself, I would never sit in the front or never sit close because I didn't want to be conspicuous.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be called on because I knew it was going to be one disaster or the other. I was either going to get completely run over because I was passive in the whole thing, or I was going to try to be funny and it was going to be even worse.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the SmackDown was interesting because, of course, they want to encourage that kind of banter and witty repartee, as they say. So I was a little more in my comfort zone then, and there really wasn't a whole lot of what you would call crowd work, so to speak.
Yeah.
It was just more general hurling of insults.
What? So soon after that, you decide to...
The following week.
Yeah.
The following week. As a matter of fact, I was still at Helium, and I got on my phone and got on the Helium website and signed up online because they have an online sign-up where you sign up in advance for open mics. And so I did it right then and there. I said, you know, strike while the iron is hot. If you sleep on this decision, you're never going to do it. So just do it. And then sure enough, I went on the next week. I actually did. They used to have a mic before the mic. It's called the bucket mic, where basically everybody puts their name in a bucket, and then the MC draws names out, and you get called up, and you do it. That they had that in the garage bar outside of the main showroom of Helium. So I got to do 3 minutes there, and that wasn't catastrophic. So I went into the big room and did the big room at 8 o'clock and received some polite applause and maybe a couple of chuckles. I don't know. I was still kind of in a fog at that point in time because this was my first time up there. And, you know, there were maybe 15 people, you know, in the audience that were non-comics. So just from there, I just kind of went to another one and then another one and got to know a lot of the comics. That's one of the things that I did in that week in between SmackDown and my first open mic is I just went online and followed and friended every single local comedian I could find. Chris Sear had just started the St. Louis Independent Comedy website at that point, so there were a few profiles already up, so I was literally just scanning for names, looking for their social media accounts and following them and getting to kind of get accustomed to the things that they did and the shows that they were doing and their humor, and looking at stuff on YouTube where they had YouTube and listening to podcasts just to kind of see, okay, is this something I can fit into? And I thought, yeah, I'm not immediately petrified by it. It seems like a decent group. And then as I got to know all these people, it's just been incredible, the amount of of collegiality and camaraderie and mutual support, which you don't hear about in communities like New York and Chicago and things like that, where it's just so competitive. Here, it's just a special community, and I just love everybody that's in it. It's been a really fun journey so far.
Yeah, I agree. I think there is, being a fan, being involved in this community with these comedians and stuff, it does feel like there's a lot of support. They're all, they're very, eager to help each other out, and they, giving each other jokes or whatever it is, different ideas and things like that. But, there's some of that's, some of that doesn't happen always, everywhere, but it's nice to see there's a nice, again, just a community building in the comedy scene.
Yeah, and the thing that I find really great and really special about it is that I am pretty far, I think, outside the circle demographically and geographically from what I would consider to be the core of the talent. I'm going to be 49 in 2 weeks. I live out in Baldwin. I've got a family. I'm a professional. I'm an attorney. I'm in management. I do all this other stuff, and so they would have every reason to say, "Get this Yahoo out of here. Get this Joker out of here. What's he doing?" But they seem to like me, and they seem to like my humor. I mean, I'm getting asked to do showcases. I've been asked to cover for some hosting and stuff like that, and they've taken me in as one of their own. I mean, I kid around with them, Justin Luke and Ella Fritz. I call them my grandkids, and Rima Parikh calls me dad, and so it's fun. I mean, they recognize the fact that I'm an older guy, and I don't live in the city. I don't go out until 3-4 o'clock in the morning and stuff like that, but they don't care. They're excellent company to be around. They've been nothing but hospitable to me and supportive of me and giving me good feedback and letting me know, when one of my jokes really hits. Rima comes to mind again. I was telling a joke in the December and in January, talking about when the winter weather was coming around and how I really enjoy sitting back and watching the snowflakes fall because millennials don't know how to walk on ice. And Rima came up to me afterwards and she goes, "I'm a millennial and even I found that funny." So,
right.
You win some and you win some, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of the fun thing about art and being creative and stuff is the fact that there is no age limit on it. If you're good, you're good. It's like, it's never too late to start.
Yeah.
So, I think that's cool that you got out there and did it, man. You're making it happen. So.
And I'm totally comfortable being myself out there. I don't feel like I have to talk the talk and relate with things. And it's funny because we're all friends on social media and things like that. And right now everybody's talking about, engaging in these comparisons between, Drake's newest album and Rick Ross's newest album. And they're having all kinds of discussions and arguments about that. And I just want to post, the 1980 Steely Dan album Gaucho really holds up after time. I listened to it for about the 400th time last night,
right.
Just because that's where I'm at.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I love some Steely Dan stuff. There's a bunch of good tunes there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you got some shows coming up. People can come out and get involved. And we got you this Wednesday night, the 22nd. You'll be over at the Monocle, which I just went there for my first time a little bit ago. Friend had a birthday party, and my friend's Sophisticated Babies performed there, and I'm a huge fan of them. They just performed in the front bar there, but they're a tuba and ukulele duo.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, and they do mostly it's all cover stuff, but they both also play with the Funky Butt Brass Band as their more original band. But they do some pretty elaborate covers, and they sound super close to the record for a tuba and ukulele duo.
Wow.
It's unreal, what they're able to pull off. But they do, ELO and Beatles and Queen and all, songs that quite a bit of orchestration in them, and they still sound great. So.
And they can pull it off. Yeah, the Monocle is a, and I am not a paid commercial endorser, it is a fabulous venue. It is just terrific. I mean, that front bar is outstanding. I mean, great atmosphere, and they've got a tremendous cocktail program there. The bartenders are all terrific. And then you go back in that showroom there, and it's just the perfect setup. I mean, you don't need a whole lot of people in there. Of course, it's always nice to have a whole lot of people in there, but it's just the setup is, it's very intimate, but for a small room, I mean, the stage is fantastic. I mean, you can put on a really good production in there.
Yeah, I went back to use the restroom. I had no, you know, again, my first time, I had no idea that was there was a performance area back there. I walked, they was like, yeah, the bathroom's back there, and I opened the door there, and I'm like, wow, this is beautiful. Like, it's a really unique thing, and to see this, you know, I'd never been to a show there, but I was like, man, this would be a lot of fun to see. You know,
it's a great venue from both sides of the curtain, because I've been to a couple of comedy shows there, and then I did Picnic Time. Justin Luke and Andrew Mihaljevic, I did their show last month, or no, actually earlier this month. I did their show, and it's great from the stage. It's great from the gallery, and they've got that little elevated area in the back there where people usually set up the soundboard and all that stuff, but you can also sit up there. It's a terrific room, so I'm looking forward to being back there, and then I'm actually going to A Solid 20, which is Eric Brown and Chris Sears' new showcase on the 25th. I'm going as a spectator for that, taking my wife down there. She's never been, so.
Nice.
Looking forward to having a little grown-up date night at the Monocle.
Yeah. Well, Wednesday the 22nd, you'll be there with some friends of the show doing Comedy Thunderdome with Nathan Orton, Ryan Dalton, J.C. Sabala, Andy Hamilton, Alan P. Williams.
Yeah, Joey Kroc is going to be on that one as well.
Ron Finger, you said?
Ron Finger will be on there, the very funny Ron Finger.
Yeah, so we got... That's a stacked lineup, man.
It is a stacked lineup. You know, I'm hoping not to finish last, but it is what it is. I've already got in mind what I'm going to do. I just had the feature spot at Fitz's open mic last week and got to do 15 minutes up there. Some fairly new material that seemed to hit. So I think I've got 8 minutes. For the showdown, or Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Thunderdome. So I think I'll be able to work something in that might get me a few claps and laughs and things like that.
Right.
So I'm hoping not to be beaten into complete submission by the real pros out there.
you also doing, you tell me you guys are bringing comedy back to... Basement Brennan's, right?
Well, we are actually upstairs at Brennan's this time, right. But you know, there used to be a Sunday night open mic at Nick's Pub, and that went away about a month and a half ago. And so the good people of Brennan's are working with me on a showcase / open mic that'll be one Sunday a month, more than likely the third Sunday of the month, starting April 16th. I will be the host. It's called the Comedy Penthouse because Brennan's is, at least I think, one of the swankiest places in town, a little upscale, and it's going to be upstairs in the Maryland Room, their second floor bar, which is a great setup. I've done Arguments and Grievances there, and the Flyover Comedy Festival had their launch party there. It's a good room for comedy, so we will have an open mic, but we're also going to feature two performers every month. We'll have a headliner that'll do 15 minutes and a feature that'll do 8. So in April, Chris Sear is going to be our first headliner. And Angela Smith, the very funny comedian who's kind of like my comedy godmother. She was one of the first comics to kind of take me under her wing, her and Brandon Judd both. She's going to be our feature performer. So I'm really looking forward to that. It's gotten some good feedback so far with some of the early promotional stuff. So I think we're going to have a good crowd, and hopefully Brennan's will like it enough to make it a mainstay on the comedy scene.
Yeah. One of my favorite comedy memories, actually, at Brennan's, I went to a show there with Down in the Basement. It was So Greg Warren puts together these like sketch comedy weeks where they recorded like these bits for. They put them on CDs, but they've also on Sirius Satellite and stuff. And,
yeah.
And so it was Greg, Nikki Glaser, Henry Phillips, Chad Daniels, Josh Arnold. I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody, but man, what's his name now? I just blanked. I had it for a second and blanked on it now. Jamie, Liso. And then anyway, but it's just crazy lineup for Inside the Basement of Brennan's. Like it was, and this is back before they switched it to like kind of the stage at the end and stuff. Kind of more of a long. It was kind of just a wide, narrow room, and the bar was still down there.
Gotcha.
In the back there, and like it was crazy. It was packed in there. It was hot and stuff. But it was so much fun to see these guys at such a intimate little room like that and stuff, so it was a lot of fun. And
oh, they turned it into a ping pong hall now, we'd be dodging ping pong balls if we were to do anything down there now.
Yeah.
Have the clackety clack going on. So they're letting us use the Maryland room, which is great. It's very comfortable. It's got good acoustics, and I'm hoping that we're also going to be able to have a video component of it as well, kind of an intermission 3 to 5 minute video. I've been talking with Josh Evans from the catalog. They do a lot of sketch comedy, and they do some videos and things like that on YouTube, as well as having the catalog podcast. And so they're interested in doing some sort of a 3 to 5 minute production, kind of an intermission. So I'm tentatively calling that Tinkle Time Theater, since it's going to be intermission based. So. Sure. We'll see how that goes. I know that they've got a video set up at the Brennan's. We'll just have to see how that works out.
Yeah. What do you like? Do you write from a lot of personal stuff, or do you kind of more one-liners?
Mostly personal inspired stuff.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of what I write are complete absurd left and right turns off of things that have actually happened. So if I have like one exchange with one of my kids, I'll blow it out into something completely fictionalized, but the impetus, the nugget, the catalyst of the bit was something that actually happened, and then I'll just blow it out into something completely absurd.
Yeah.
I'm the only male in my household of four human beings. I have two daughters. One is 15 and one is 12, so they're an ample source of self-deprecating humor for myself as I try to negotiate the world of a teen and a preteen girl. That's always fun. And then I've been married to my wife now. It'll be 21 years in April, so there's all kinds of humor to be derived off of that. Needless to say, she doesn't come to too many of my shows, but she did come to one show where I was doing a fictionalized bit that she featured prominently in, and I didn't sleep on the couch that night, so I guess she kind of gets it.
Right?
Yeah, she kind of gets it. You know, when I started doing this, the first open mic I did, my kids were off in Indiana at camp, so it was just me and my wife, and she had something else going on. So I came back from that open mic, and she's like, "Well, what do you think?" I said, "I think this is something that I, you know, might be interested in doing, like, you know, maybe one night a week." And then all of a sudden, you know, people start asking me, you know, if I'm interested in doing a show or a showcase or whatever. Now it's two nights a week, and she's like, "I thought it was only going to be one night a week," and it's like, "Well, I thought I was going to suck." So there you have it. So she's been very patient and understanding with that, and of course it also helps now that my kids are older. They're not so dependent on having mommy and daddy around. Right. Matter of fact, most of the time they don't want us around, so if I'm out of the house, who cares? And then there's also the factor that during the school year, you know, my kids are in bed at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and I'm just walking out the door to go to Fitz's or go to the Wild Card at down in Maplewood at the Crow's Nest. Yeah. So you kind of get the best of both worlds there. I can be a family man and then head out the door at at 10 o'clock at night and do my thing and roll in about 1 o'clock in the morning, and then I have to deal with the consequences 3.5 hours later when I got to get up and go to work the next day.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's okay. That's a cross I'm willing to bear.
Are you looking for some new music? Check out Music Record Shop right here in St. Louis, located on Locust at the Dot Zach building. You can come over there. They just had their grand opening for the brand new location, and they want you to come check it out. So come by anytime, but every Friday they have new records in store, new vinyl. We got some tapes and CDs and all kinds of stuff. So if you'd like to get your records on the shelf at Music Record Shop, reach out and get involved. See how we can make that happen too. You can shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to check out their Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. They're always giving away free tickets and all kinds of other things, so it pays to support. So check out musicrecordshop.com.
I had a similar kind of thing with the podcast where started as one day a week. Doing it, me and my buddy Chris did the show together, and that was all we could really manage. But yeah, then quickly become addicted to it and really enjoyed it, and yeah, I'm up to like 3 or 4 sometimes a week, and just and my wife, she's also very supportive of it, so she, you know, it's, we don't always, she works a lot too, so it's difficult to even have the time. But yeah, a lot of times, like, she's in bed early because she works a lot earlier than I do, yeah. So she's in bed anyway, and it's like, well, might as well go out and record a podcast and
yeah,
have some fun. And
yeah, and my wife's a high school teacher, so yeah. By 8 o'clock at night, she's completely wrung to a pulp. I mean, you know, to be dealing with high school kids all day and then come home and have a high schooler and a middle schooler, it'll ring you out pretty quick. But yeah, one of the jokes that I've been doing as part of my opener lately is that I'm not really a comic. I'm just a guy who's been married for 21 years who doesn't want to watch House Hunters anymore.
Right.
So I have to find some reason to get out of the house, and so tonight it's stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night I go to the Knights of Columbus, which will be interesting because I'm Jewish, you know, so that kind of thing there. But yeah, you know, I fake complain about that stuff a lot, but I'm very thankful to have a if not supportive, which she is, at bare minimum understanding wife, that understands that doing this has made me probably the happiest that I've been in a long time.
Yeah.
So, and I've got nothing to complain about, and still my happiness level has gone up considerably in the last several months.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's great. That something to be said about that. Like, you know, you're kind of chasing that dream, and you're being rewarded for it, and your level of happiness is going up. Like you're saying, like, there's something to that, man. Because, like, I agree. Same way. I'm live music's for me where it's at. Like, I love comedy as well, but for me, live music is what makes me happiest.
Sure.
And when I go out to a show, you know, that's where it's at for me. So
yeah. And I love, you know, I love taking it in. I mean, I absolutely love being a producer of comedy, but I love being a consumer of comedy. And so I will do that. If I get a free night or something like that, or, you know, my wife has got book club or something like that, and I've got a night to myself, I will find somebody's show to go out and do, or I will just carve time to just go do it. And like I say, you know, whenever my wife is available, you know, I'm taking her to shows now. I've taken her to Helium a couple times, taken her to the Solid 20 show this weekend, I just love getting out. I love seeing these comics. You know, I hear their stuff every week, but still, to see it in a different environment and see it when I can really focus on it rather than, you know, going over in the back of my mind, okay, what am I going to say when it's my turn to go up on stage,
right,
and things like that. So I'm completely distraction-free, and it's great. I just went to Ken Warner's Coffee Break a couple of weeks ago down at Foam, which is another great venue. You know, no agenda whatsoever. Just want to go down there and see the show, and you know, it was great. So, yeah, anytime that I can get out and see the, some of these locally produced shows especially.
Sure.
I mean, it's great seeing the national touring acts as well, and we're getting a lot of them, which is fabulous. But we've got a lot of great talent here in St. Louis that I just love to death.
Yeah, yeah, there's no shortage of entertainment in this town. There's and there's more and more independent comedy shows popping up all around town, and as well as music all over the place too. But it's just it's exciting times to be involved in this St. Louis comedy and entertainment and everything. It's a lot going on.
Indeed.
And I've always had this idea, kind of like. Sort of off the idea that that on Comedy Central the goddamn Comedy Jam. You ever catch that? Well, I always kind of wanted to sort of do something like that, kind of mashing music and comedy together in a sense, and bringing some of my worlds together. I haven't really figured out the best way to do that yet, but maybe someday I might be able to start a show and do something.
I think there's definitely room for that. A venue like a slightly larger room, you'd probably have to have like the heavy anchor or something like that. Mm-hmm. That would be the perfect venue for it. But yeah, I mean, especially with the sound. Actually, I'm doing a show on the 31st out at Sky Music Lounge out in Baldwin, out by me. I've got some good friends of mine have a band called Woodford's Reserve, just kind of 70s AOR cover band. And I'm emceeing their show and doing comedy at the intermission. So
yeah, nice.
It's we're moving in that direction at least. But yeah, I mean, I could definitely see almost like a Saturday Night Live type thing where you've got a little sketch comedy, you got a little stand up, you got a little music, and just kind of mash it all together.
Right.
Hopefully St. Louis Up Late will be back, hopefully, one of these days. And that was kind of moving in that direction as well. If they can get their stuff worked out and get back on the air, that's another option.
Because
that's a live audience at the Marcel.
Sure. Yeah, I did a party last summer for the second birthday of the show, and I had three bands, and then I had Bobby Jaycox hosting the event, and he kind of did a little bit opening up the show, and then he kind of did a longer set in between. But it was just fun to get him involved and just, again, the kind of collaborating music and comedy together and stuff, and introducing people to different things that, fan bases that haven't met each other and stuff.
Right. So. Yeah, it's great. And We are blessed with a number of venues that are really into that. They really want to help foster the whole creative scene here in St. Louis. It's interesting, and most of it is going on in the city. I mean, that's not a knock against anybody else, but I tried to put together a comedy show somewhere out in West County. Now, St. Charles County, they have some success doing it. You've got the Rendezvous has their showcase every month. You've got Parrots has their open mic every month. And then we've got the Babylon open mic on Monday nights out in St. Charles County. So they've found a market for it there. But, man, I looked at a number of establishments out in Ellisville, Baldwin, Manchester, and nobody just seemed interested in comedy at all. So it's kind of funny that way, but that's fine. When I decided that I was going to put together a show, I didn't even once I got that kind of cold shoulder from West County, it's like, you know what? People need to come out to the city, because most of my friends, they live out in, Creve Coeur and Chesterfield and Ballin and stuff like that, and it's tough for them on a Wednesday night to come out at 10:30 at night to, even Maplewood to see a show. So I wanted to try and bring something to them, but nobody wants to host it. So it's like, okay, well, we'll do something on a Sunday night. You can come out to the Central West End. The show's at 8 o'clock. We'll be done by 10. You can then flee west before you turn into a pumpkin. And, come to the city, because they seem to be embracing the creative community here in town. I have an option to do another show, which I'm probably going to start up. It'll be a four-comic showcase. working title, the Comedy Houseboat. There's a venue that I've been talking with about possibly doing that. We're going to be losing a showcase here at the end of July when Tree Sanchez leaves. She does Happy Tree and Friends one Thursday a month. She's booked shows through July. I'll be on her show April 6th, by the way. You know, once she's gone, that's going to be one more showcase that we don't have. So I may try and fill that gap, too. And there's a venue in the city that's said, hey, you know, let us know. So very cool. Probably do that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that'd be fun. It's cool to see that, again, you know, out there doing it, man.
Yeah.
You know, making these, you know, and a lot of that, I think probably a lot of it's just getting out there and putting yourself in those situations to where these opportunities can happen.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I think people ask me a lot about, you know, starting a podcast or whatever, and that's all I say, just buy a mic and go do it.
Like, go do it.
Yeah. So, if you want to get involved in comedy, you mentioned a bunch of mics. There's a bunch of things going on around town. You know, just easily get involved or reach out, and somebody will gladly help you introduce you to some mics and stuff.
No joke there. Once I had been doing this for a few months and knew that it was something that I really wanted to commit to, I actually went to Chris Sear and said, what do I need to do to take the next step? What do I need to do to start, you know, getting onto some showcases and maybe even doing some hosting or some sitting in for hosts and things like that? And he says, ask. He says, sometimes it's just as easy as getting to know people and asking them, you know. If they see your stuff when you're out at a mic and you're not falling all over yourself, they're at least going to give you a chance to grow. I mean, you don't have to be, you know, Louis C.K. to get on somebody's show.
Right.
You just have to be committed to what you're doing. Take it, you know, somewhat seriously to the extent that you can take stand-up comedy seriously. I mean, it is an art, just like anything else. And people will give you an opportunity. I'm starting to get them now, and I'm not even having to beg for them like I was in the beginning. People actually want me to be on their show. Either that, or they figure that they're doing a dying man a favor, since I'm so old, you know, that, well, you know, this is probably on his bucket list. Let's put him in the lineup. He'll probably be dead in 6 months. So, whatever it is, I don't care. I'm doing shows. I get to see other people do their work. I get to get up there and do my thing, and hopefully I'm getting better, and it's a blast.
Sure. I know some of these guys were doing some kind of weekend gig stuff, doing like going to, you know, different markets, Springfield or
Cape Girardeau has been a big one lately.
I
saw this past weekend Cork, which is a club down in Cape Girardeau. They had Pat Trowbridge and Eric Brown, who did an hour. Kenny Warner and Ryan Dalton all went down and did a show, and then they had a local comic down there as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, some of them, and Eric has made no bones about the fact that he's getting out and about. He's doing a tour through the South pretty soon. I know that he's gone out and done some shows on the road not too long ago. I know Brandon Judd is getting out there and doing some stuff. Brian McDowell, he has done a lot of shows in Illinois and Iowa, and his former residence of Canute, Kansas. I know. I have actually, because I grew up in Jefferson City, and they just opened a new venue in Jeff City where they're having comedy a couple times a month, and I've gotten to know the guy that does the promotions up there for that. So I'm trying to work out where I can go up to Jeff City and do a show up there. I've got a lot of friends from high school that are still there, and so they want me to come up, so I'm going to do that. I may try to get on some mics in Kansas City here this summer, because I usually go up there for a weekend or two.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah.
So fun.
It is. It's cool, and it's cool to see some of these other guys getting out and doing stuff and reporting in on Facebook and Twitter from the road and how their shows are going, and it seems they're fairly well received as well. So it's always nice to know. It's, you know, I like to see my friends be successful.
Yeah, Well, I always, you know, again, going to the Funny Bone a lot and stuff as a fan, and I would, you know, you'd be there, and like, they always say, like, this guy just dropped in for, you know, guest spot tonight and stuff, you know, and that kind of thing. You got them to do 10 minutes or something between.
Yeah.
And it's just, those are always kind of fun to, because a lot of them, you know, I never heard of. I was there to see the headliner or whatever, but then you meet somebody that's getting a feature spot like that, and like, and you really enjoy what they do and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think that'd be a good way to kind of, you know, also getting to meet some more people and stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that works, like if those guys actually, if it's set up through the, or if it really is like they just dropped in like that kind of thing or whatever. But
a lot of, you know, from what I have seen, a lot of it is just mutual acquaintances and things like that. I mean, I've seen it a few times already. Garrett Smalley, who is a really, really funny comic out of Springfield, Missouri, he somehow or another knew Eric Brown, and so Eric put him on as a headliner at the Hootin' and Hollerin' open mic at the Treehouse on South Grand on Thursday nights. And then Garrett came back. He did Wild Card Comedy one night, so I know he's been through a few times. So I think it's just, you know, who you know. Allie Lightfoot, who was a comic out of Phoenix, who was actually moving to Philadelphia, and she was driving through St. Louis, and I think she knew Ryan Dalton, and so he got her a spot on the Fitz's open mic, and so she did that. And then there's another comic, Dylan Palladino, who came through. He's from New York. He was in a couple weeks ago, and I don't know what his connection was, but I know that he did Kenny Warner's show. And then he was also a judge for the roast battle that Chris Denman, We Are Live, and Travis Terrell, their show. He was a judge on that as well. And then they actually put him on at Helium as well. He did a set at Helium over the weekend that he was in town. So, yeah, it's, I think a lot of times it's just, you know, who you know.
Right.
And it doesn't cost anybody anything to yield 10 minutes of stage time.
Sure.
For a traveling comic, and you never know when those kind of favors are going to pay you back someday.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I think talked to Christian Lawrence, and he does he named a show In Transit because it's just for comedians on the road traveling. And
yeah, that's a fantastic concept. A great thing. There's a comedy mogul right there, Christian Lawrence.
Yeah.
And I did History Schmystery earlier, or was it last month? I lose track of time. What can I do? But sometime during the standard time, I did History Schmystery.
Yeah.
I was Sapumurat Niyazov, who was the self-appointed dictator of Turkmenistan, who is this really... He's this really insane, crazy, narcissistic guy. Makes Trump look like an amateur. And so I did 10 minutes as him, which was easy because, you know, I didn't have to get elaborately dressed up. It was a dude who wore a blue suit.
Right.
You know, big, heavy, dark-haired guy who wore a blue suit. I took my glasses off, put on a tie. There was my costume. So, yeah, I've gotten to know Christian pretty well over the last several months. So, yeah, he was kind enough to... put me on his show, and he's also been very helpful, giving me advice, you know, on how to secure a venue for a show and things like that. So,
yeah,
he's terrific.
Yeah, one of the nicest guys, man. He's super cool.
Yep.
Well, again, come out on 22nd, the Monocle, and what's April 16th. April 16th
is the Comedy Penthouse at Brennan's.
And that's gonna be every third Sunday.
Every third Sunday of the month, yes.
And the first one we said
April 16th. Chris Sears is the headliner. Angela Smith's the feature.
Yeah, so come out to those shows. Mark them on your calendar. And you got a Facebook and Twitter.
I do at Yale Hollander on the Twitter.
Yeah.
And I also have a website where you can keep up with what I'm doing, and this podcast will be linked on it, assuming you decide to broadcast it. That's yalehollander.weebly.com, because I'm too cheap to pay for my own privately hosted website. Who knows? Maybe someday I'll put some of these 20 and 15 and $10 together, making it some of these mics and buy myself a website. Who knows? But in the meantime, that's where you can find me. Yeah, I'm on Facebook. Absolutely. Let's be friends.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you taking some time now to hang. And this is, again, this has been a lot of fun getting to know you a little better.
Absolutely.
Wish you all the best of luck with all this. So hopefully, maybe we'll do it again sometime and catch up and see where you are then. Maybe.
Sounds great.
Hopefully, getting some headline spots and stuff and all that.
Amen. Amen. I'm all for it, man.
Yeah. Thanks, brother.
All right. Thank you.